At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I will say there are times where I feel like you should not be dating, okay? I'm going to give you a few times where I feel like you should not be dating. One, I feel that if your if your day-to-day needs are not being met, like you cannot meet your day-to-day needs on your own. Like if you are having a housing crisis, if you are struggling to even make ends meet to the point where you don't know where your next meal is coming from, where you just trying to survive, I don't think you should be dating. Yo, party people, it's Ashley of SingleWomanChronicles.com, where being single is a beautiful choice rather than a miserable circumstance. How y'all doing? I be wanting y'all to like respond back because like we in a season that's a struggle. I know we all tired. By the time this airs, it'll be the Tuesday of the elections. I know we all tired of the emails. I have voted. Y'all already know who I voted for. Don't even ask me no nonsense. Madam Kamala, of course. I need y'all to go vote. If you are not voting, you are disrespecting your, if you are a black person and you're not voting, you are disrespecting your ancestors who fought to vote, because this was not that long ago. In 1960 something, black people could not vote. Like we had just got the right to vote. And in certain states, they had to pay a tax to vote. And it wasn't a cheap tax. It was like a week's wage of taxes just to vote. So you have the privilege to vote for free. So go and you vote. Again, if you vote for Trump, stay at home. Just stay at home. But if you vote for Kamala, go vote. If you are supporting a man who wants us to be slaves as black people, who wants to cut Social Security, who wants to make medicine unaffordable, who wants to just do a lot of stuff that don't even make sense, go ahead. It's your right. Again, but if that's what you're thinking, stay at home. Okay? Only if you vote for Kamala, you go vote. This message only applies to y'all who vote for Kamala. All right? All right, cool. Next subject. So, I have not watched the Meg Thee Stallion documentary yet. I'm a huge fan of Meg. Her strength is incredible. People could not walk a step in her shoes, but love to judge her. I don't know why she gets so much hate. Her and Chloe Bailey get a lot of hate, and I really don't understand why. It's like they wake up, smile, and people just be like, "You suck." It's like, why do they get so much hate? But of course, even though I haven't watched, they have been talking about how she lied about sleeping with Tory, which is crazy because she had already addressed this before the documentary, but people are mad. But I don't even want to talk about that, because here's my thing. I think her documentary is at least an hour and a half. I can bet $100. I ain't even turn it on. I ain't press play, nothing. I bet $100 that was a discussion for about 15 minutes. I bet that wasn't even her whole documentary. I bet her documentary dug into the fact that she lost her mother, her father, and I think her grandmother as well. And as she was coming into this stardom, on top of that, going through what she went through with that troll. And people only want to talk about her lying about, like, I just think it's so stupid. We've lost the plot here, people. We've lost the plot. I don't even like to talk about the subject, look at the comments on the subject, because the divide is insane. I just don't understand the hate. But people who can never walk a step in your shoes love to hate you. It's like, never take insults from somebody you wouldn't take advice from. Point blank, period. Here we go. I don't even understand. Another thing. I wrote on my Facebook status the other day, the older I get, the more I understand Maxine Shaw from Living Single. Growing up, I did not understand Maxine. Now, I'm not talking about from the like using people point of view, because no, I don't rock with that part of her, like how she goes and she eats all her friends' food and like do all this, because she probably make more than all of them, but she'd be like smooching off of them, not necessarily using, but smooching off of them, right? Not that part. But I used to always find it peculiar, like how she dated, how she put these crazy guards up, like around people, how she did not fully engage in like relationships. She kind of kept relationships at arm's length. And I think she did it to protect herself emotionally. And now I'm like, I kind of get why she lives by herself. She buy her business and she avoid closeness with these men folk. I kind of get it. I kind of get it now. I didn't get it back then. I kind of get it now. Now, do I want to adopt some of her stuff? No, but I understand Maxine Shaw a little bit more now. And I'm kind of coming to that age. I'm like, I understand. I understand. And this kind of goes into today's topic, because I really didn't know what I wanted to talk about today, to be honest. But going back to Queen's Court, if you guys are interested in watching Queen's Court, it's a dating show with older women, and older, I mean like 40, sometimes 50 something, older celebrity women who go on to find their person, right? So last season was Tamar when she found that white devil, and there was Nivea, and there was Evelyn. This season was Lisa Ray, K. Michelle, Delicious. I finished the season. Spoiler alert, if you do not want to hear about what happened, do not keep listening, because I'm about to tell y'all who chose what and who. It's been out for weeks. Like, come on. So, at the end, I'll take you through who had what type of guy. So, we had K. Michelle. K. Michelle's way of dating is very interesting to me. You can tell she is a woman who does not trust men at her core and is very, very, very guarded. Very guarded. Like, don't open up. She is kind of like the guy you date and it feels like you're pulling teeth to get to know him. That's how she dates. And I understand, because I remember an interview she did back in the day where she said all men are evil inherently. Like, basically, she's like, men are not good people. And I think a lot of her believes that, and she dates like it. So she ended up with these two guys. One guy was this really attractive African guy. To me, he seemed too busy. And I also felt like he did not see her fully for who she is. I think he saw a grasp a little bit of who she is, like on the surface. He knew she was a singer. He knew she was attractive. He knew she was successful. She had a kid. But I don't think he saw the depths of her, like the layers of who she is. But she kept him around. We don't know what happened behind the scenes. And I also thought, again, he was too busy for her, because it was like two times that he was late to their dates. And that was just the whole thing. Second person was this guy named Ben. I really, really wanted her to choose Ben. Ben was this older white guy who, he just was so gentle with her. I think she needs someone gentle. She needs someone patient. She needs someone understanding because of all she's gone through. And he was just so good. He was just so good. And like, he's not the guy when you walk in a room, you're like, ooh, he's fine. But he's an attractive older guy. He keeps himself up in the gym. He had nice arms. He was real chill. Like, you could tell if it came to like interracial dating, you know, that can be a factor in things. But he just handled it so well. Super cool guy. I could tell he saw her for real. Like, he made her cry happy tears like twice, I think. And they just had really deep conversations. And I really think he would take care of her heart. I believe that a man taking care of your heart is just like the most important thing. Oh, I forgot to name this episode. Is basically about like, when do you actually know you're ready for a relationship? Like, when do you actually know, right? So they get to the end. K. Michelle basically doesn't choose neither, because she's like, I don't know who, because I need more time. Ben said that she's a slow burner like him. So a slow burn relationship is basically a relationship that's very slow and it builds. Like, in most, I always say this, TV shows, movies, rom-coms set us up for failure, because they show us this more than likely, I'm not going to necessarily say toxic. I'm going to more so say unrealistic flow of how dating should be. And we expect it to be like that, but most more times than not, it's not actually like that in reality. Of course, there's always an exception to the rule, but most times it's not. So in dating scenarios in a movie or rom-com, it's kind of like you meet this person, it's instant butterflies. You want to spend all your time with them. You basically fall in love at first sight. You guys go through, you know, y'all date, and then a hiccup happens and you think it's over, and then voila, they come back and they sweep you off your feet and you live happily ever after, and that's the end of the movie, right? But a slow burn relationship is the complete opposite of that. It's when you meet that person and there's no instant butterflies, there's no instant connection, like there's no instant nothing. You're literally leading from your head. Like it's head first, heart second. And a slow burn relationship is like you're really getting to know the depths of that person, and then you're growing to love that person, right? And so Ben was saying that's how he is because he was a divorcee. And K. Michelle is definitely like that because she's just been through so much, and that's just how she moves, right? And she was just saying she didn't really think that she was ready to make a decision. So she's like, I'm not ready. Cool. Lisa Ray. If I were to say who I date more like, I would say I date the most like Lisa Ray. The me now dates more like Lisa Ray. Lisa Ray was very open to receive love. To me, she was very open to receive love, even though she had just lost her mom 6 months ago during the show. So she was still very fresh in her grieving process. She had two dope guys. She had this guy named Booker, both of them were older. Lisa Ray's like 60. First of all, she looks incredible. You would never think she was that old. But Booker, he was like in his, both of them were over 50. Booker was like more serious. He was Jamaican. He was more chill. He showed he liked her in his words and his actions, but like he did not emote a lot. Her biggest issue with him was she didn't know if he could have fun or not. Then you had David. David had a lot of swag. David had all these quotes. Like, David.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial grade products and next day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-Grainger, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
He was a guy who had a quote for everything. Like he had a quote for everything. So she didn't know if he was real because of his quotes or not. She almost got rid of him at one point, but eventually she saw, like, no, he's genuine. And David, to me, was very genuine. I loved how he made her laugh. I just love David's swag. You could tell David was that dude back in the day. They shared a lot of similarities. His dad passed when he was like younger from suicide. He opened up to her. He was emotional. I love that he was able to like express emotion. I love a man who can, like, I don't love a crybaby. I'm not saying that. I'm saying like, I love a man who, when emotions are heavy, he's okay with sharing them and not feeling like he has to lock up. And there was like one time he was talking about his mom or his dad, I think, and he cried, he shed a tear. And then at the end, again, Lisa Ray did not choose either guy. She didn't choose him because she was like, I'm healing right now and I cannot give you me. She said, I don't think it would be fair for me to choose you too, because I can't give you anything right now, because all of everything that I am is being used to get through my mother's death right now. So she said she wasn't ready. Booker was sad because I could tell both of them really liked her. Like, you could tell both of them men would kiss the ground that she walked on. Like, they both really liked her. David, you can tell his heart was crushed. Like, he literally had an emotional reaction. Like, his his eyes got watery. Like, he was literally about to cry because she was like, I can't choose you right now because of my, like, I'm still healing. It was so beautiful. Don't you just love it when a man is just so broken up over losing you because he just wants you so bad that he just cry? I love it. It's beautiful. Why are you not crying for me? So last but not least was Delicious. Old me date probably dated similar to Delicious, but not as like over sexual, because you could tell like she really just wanted to get laid real bad. But because she was saying that she hadn't been laid, I think since her divorce, maybe. I think out of all of them, Delicious would be the one who would say, I'm not ready, because you could tell she was still healing from her divorce and it still had a heavy toll on her because of the way she was picking and the places she was picking from to me were a little confusing. She had a guy named Tracy and a guy named Zeus. Tracy to me seemed like the more stable option. Everyone around her told her that he was the more stable option. He just wasn't vulnerable. I don't know what it is. He was very music soul child, teach me how to love. And she didn't want to do that. And I understand that. But I felt like with patience, and if she really was paying attention and wanted something real, he would have worked on that for her. As opposed to Zeus. Now, I'm not going to lie. Zeus, very attractive, very sexy. If you're trying to get laid, go Zeus. But it was something about Zeus I couldn't put my finger on. I think that man named Zeus. That I can't put my finger on that made me feel like he was inauthentic. Like, he was really just there for the fun. Like, he can take Delicious or leave her. Like, if she didn't choose him, I felt like he would have just been like, oh, okay, cool, whatever. We'll watch my podcast next week. Like, it was something weird about him, but she was the only one of them who chose somebody, and she chose Zeus. Now, I don't know Delicious like that. Maybe she chose him because she's just trying to get her rocks off. She wants something to play with, because it's apparent that she is not over her marriage, like how it ended, because it was traumatic. Like, that man literally walked out on her and she ain't talked to him since. Insane. She ain't seen him since. So that was heavy. Now, you may be thinking, how did you get When Are You Really Ready from this? Because I'm like, looking at these different scenarios, you have women who, one, are saying they're not ready. Two, are still choosing people even though they seem the least ready. And then you have someone like, I'm still taking more of my time to get to know you because I'm a little guarded. So when are you actually ready for a relationship? I feel as women, we put more pressure on ourselves when we are, sorry, y'all, this is my dog. I feel as women, we put the most pressure on ourselves when we are evaluating our readiness for a relationship. Like, many women feel like we have to be stable in our career. We have to be stable in our emotions. We have to be like chill at the same time and not be in a space where we're feeling like we're chasing love, but at the same time won't love. We got to be perfect basically to be ready. And I just feel like that is a false narrative. And I wonder where it came from. I recently saw this TikTok and this girl was like, especially millennial women. She said, millennial women, when we grew up, the world told us, our families told us, focus on your grades, focus on your career, get yourself established, get all your stuff together, and then think about a family. Then think about getting married. And we did that, and now we're getting shunned for it because a lot of us is in our late 30s, mid-30s, and we ain't got no kids. We ain't got no family. We ain't got no husbands because nobody told us to do that. And now y'all mad at us. I don't understand. But I think that pressure to perfection has made us believe that we're never really ready for love, because I say this all the time. Men don't care. Men can be homeless and will still date. Men can be jobless and will still date. Men can be broken up with their girlfriend on Monday and trying to go on a date on Wednesday. They don't care. So like, why do we put so much pressure on ourselves? So even this week, like, I had a situation where I'm talking to someone and we got into a yelling match. This is my first time getting to a yelling match with somebody and nobody hung up. Usually when I'm in a yelling match, one, I don't like arguing. Don't like raising my voice. Don't like getting mad, period. But we got into a yelling match and neither one of us hung up. I've never experienced that ever again. I mean, ever before in my life. So that was interesting. We were able to get over the hump And I'm just like, okay, cool. But because I was so upset because of the argument itself, because of like I had some of my anxious attachment kind of like creep up, I was questioning like, oh, does this mean you're not ready? And I'm just like, the devil is a liar. Yeah. Because we will never have arrived. Like, that just makes no sense. It makes me think back to one of my close friends. She had came out of this narcissistic relationship. And as soon as she came out, like a month later, she ended up meeting her husband, which is crazy because when she was telling me about it, I was under this thought process of how everyone says, oh, you gotta do X, Y, Z. You gotta jump through this hoop. You gotta close this door. You gotta do all of these things before you can enter into a new relationship and be ready for that relationship. But she came out of the relationship. She ended up meeting this guy at her job. And of course, as a friend, I'm like, are you sure you're ready? You just gave her this. She was like, girl, trust me. I was over that before, whatever. Fast forward, they're married and they've been together for years. They've been together for like a decade and they're happy. And because I felt like you had to be set, like a certain bar had to be set, I'm questioning her readiness, okay? So I feel like we have to take so much pressure off of ourselves. Now, I will say there are times when you are not ready. I will say there are times where I feel like you should not be dating, okay? I'm gonna give you a few times where I feel like you should not be dating. One, I feel that if you're if your day-to-day needs are not being met, like you cannot meet your day-to-day needs on your own. Like if you are having a housing crisis, if you are struggling to even make ends meet to the point where you don't know where your next meal is coming from, where you just trying to survive, I don't think you should be dating in that point because you're in too vulnerable of a state to be out here trying to see what's up with somebody because you can easily be taken advantage of, I believe. And then I don't think you can date from a point. What can you necessarily offer them because you're so emotionally drained trying to even feel yourself and survive? So I just don't think you need to be dating if you got those kinds of things going on. Two, I don't think you need to be dating if you know that you are still not over somebody from your past. Don't bring nobody in your mess. Please stop bringing folks in your mess. If you know that if that ex call you tomorrow and you gonna pick up and you going back to them, leave them folks alone. Get that straightened out first and then move on. If you keep bringing up your ex, if you know they still trigger you, leave them folks alone. Three, I don't think you should be dating or looking for a relationship if you are dealing with levels of insecurity where it makes you question who you are. Like if you're, because we all have insecurities, but if you are just literally insecure, I don't think you should be dating because at that point, the person you are attracting or the people you are attracting most likely won't be good for you. And the people you are attracted to might not be good for you because you're going to be attracted to people that you feel like you're good enough for. And when you are attracted to people who you feel like you're good enough for, you're never going to think the person you actually want is going to want you. So if you're dealing with heavy levels of insecurities to the point where you literally are insecure, I don't think you need to be dating. So those are 3 points. Those are 3 major moments where I feel like it ain't a time to date. That's just my opinion. But, you know, I feel like if you're going through a healing journey, you've done the work. You've prayed about it. You feel ready. Don't allow moments where you're not at your highest and your best to make you feel like, oh, I shouldn't be dating. Because honestly, I'm not Lisa Ray and I've never lost a parent. So I get it. Like she wants to take that time. But honestly, I feel like she could have chosen one of those guys and they could have helped her, you know, navigate this space and been there for her. And I think they would have been okay with where she is. I truly think that. Like, I think she was ready enough, but again, I don't know how she feels and I don't want to put that on her, but I just felt like on the outside looking in, she just seemed ready. K. Michelle is another one. Like, I feel like she's really guarded. I think she can let her guard down. She did not say she was not ready. She just more so said that she just needs more time. So that makes sense because everyone has to go at their own pace. Delicious is the person who chose somebody and I don't think she should because she is not over her marriage. She is not over her divorce. She is not over that. So that's my two cents. Hopefully y'all gain something out of this. Okay. That's all I got. Till next time. Bye.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.